I was on a TV program. I've done several TV programs. I don't really care for doing that. Not that I don't want to minister, but that it's just always so strange doing TV programs because you're ministering to cameras. You're looking at cameras. You can't see all the people. I'm just the kind of person that likes to see you out there. And what they do is everything on a TV program has to be really, planned and perfect. I mean, there's no mistakes because everything I've ever done on TV, unfortunately, has been live. And what they had me do was they had me sing, and I'd be like on one part of the stage where I'd have a handheld microphone, and I'd have to pick it up, and I would sing. And then I would have to walk behind the cameras while they took, and put it on somebody else to get over to the couches to where I was going to do the interview, okay? So then I sit down on the couch. They went to something, to a commercial or something, so that they're over there like behind the couch hooking this up on me and all that. So I'm doing my interview, and I'm talking about, after we get done with the interview, I'm talking about the song I'm going to sing. And they said, as Annie goes and prepares, you can see me on the TV, me and the host. Danny goes to prepare to sing, and I'm going, and there, as she prepares, I'm going, I can't get this off of me. Live TV. And I could not get that thing off me. I was sitting there, and finally the little producer guy, his hand comes up over me, I'm going, I'm telling you. That's why they call me the Lucille Ball of gospel music. Let me tell you, they could make episodes of me. It'd be just like Lucy. I'm serious. So I don't know what's going to happen this morning. It's people like Cliff that I love because I have the same personality as Cliff. The same person. And you know what? There was a Christian comedian named Blake that you all met. He toured with me for about 2 years opening for me. I didn't realize they prepared another comedian to open for me today. So I felt very, very comfortable. And the funny thing about Cliff though is I've met Cliff before several times, of course, but it's been a year, so you forget how people are. And I walked in yesterday to practice with the worship band, and Cliff just real quiet, just, what's your name again? I forgot your name. Cliff. He's over there playing his piano. He doesn't say very much. I'm thinking to myself, this is really a quiet, shy kind of guy. And then when we left, he'd drive off the car just kind of like, such a really quiet, shy kind of guy. And then, I come for worship this morning and Cliff, and I'm, your name again? Cliff. No? He plays the piano all through worship. He's kind of, and then he comes up and shocks me. He comes up for worship and he's like, I'm going, God, is that the same Cliff? Man, you've been holding back on me. We could have had more fun yesterday at practice if you'd said something. So anyway, the message I have for you today, I feel very strongly about. Because, when you preach a message, it has to be a thing that you have experienced within your own self, in your own life. It has to be something that you know about because you have gone through it. And the title, good pastors or preachers or whatever, you ministers always have a title for their sermon or their speech, and mine is entitled The Power of Personal Devotions. That might sound kind of boring, but it's not, because I have 5 points to share with you this morning. And if you're taking notes, I'm going to be giving you some scriptures. I'm going to be giving you some points to write down that I think are going to be life-changing for you. Because these are things that I have endured myself. I've learned myself some the hard way. I have studied and I have prepared my message today. And I know that the power of personal devotions will change your life completely. And before I begin, I want to be able to read a scripture to you. And it's in Philippians. It's chapter 3 and it's verses 8 through 14. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him in the power of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended or arrived, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I pray for boldness today. I pray for direction, Lord. I pray for this congregation that their hearts and their minds will be open to your word, Lord. Father, I move myself aside that you might be glorified through me. Jesus, we love you so much. You have been good to us. And we worship you today, Lord God, not only with our song, but Lord God, in studying your word, to be obedient to what you've called us to do. I pray that this message would go forth today and pierce hearts, Lord God, and change lives from the inside out. In Jesus' name, amen. I read that verse because it has been a foundation for me from the beginning of my ministry. Paul's talking about not looking behind. All of us have a past and all of us have a testimony. But at the same time, we need to be encouraged to know that we can press on, that there is a goal for each one of us, that we have hope and that we can make it, that we can really change and become the person that we've always wanted to be. All of us have a walk with the Lord, and so often we fail at different points in that walk. But to realize this morning through this message that we can indeed, through the Word of God, through study, through anticipation of what he has for us in the future, that we can change, that we can become that man, that woman, that child of God. In 2 Corinthians 10:5, and it's the second part of that verse, 2 Corinthians 10:5, that says, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. We need to have the Word of God rule in our lives. That's when we can really, truly change and grow close to the Lord. I have 5 points that I want to go through this morning. Number one, everyday devotions. It's important for your growth as a Christian, and it's important for your growth in your relationship to God, just as any relationship needs time and attention. And it's at this point that I want to pause and share a testimony with you in complete honesty, opening myself up to you as I do in my concerts. I touched on this last night, and I didn't go any further because I wanted to explain it a bit more this morning in that importance of that time and attention to our relationship with God, to our daily devotions, our everyday devotions. You know, I talk to Christians. I meet people in churches all the time. I'm on the road, and I have people come to me, and one question I am asked quite often is, I can't seem to hear God's voice, Annie. Or, I keep stumbling, Annie. I just can't seem to walk that walk straight. Or, Annie, I'm having trouble every day just really being obedient to God's word. And I ask them a question that I pretty much know I'm going to get the answer to. Is I say, do you get into the Word of God? Do you read your Bible every day? And the answer that I get from that individual is usually is no. And I go, why? Well, gosh, and they don't know what to say. They really don't know. They've never really thought about it. And they don't realize that the enemy is using such a great tool against them. It's a tool of complacency. It's a very sly and devious thing that the enemy does to us, thinking that as Christians, we can come to church on Sunday, be taught the Word of God, be read the Word of God by our pastor, and that is enough to get us through the week. And it's a lie of the enemy. We need to be in God's Word every day. We need to be doing daily devotions, and that is how we're truly going to change from the inside out. And I found that out myself the hard way. As I shared in concert last night, God loves us so much, but He will discipline us. Just as every good parent, those of you here today who are parents, and those of you who is everyone in here has been raised by a parent, know that if your parents really love you, they'll discipline you. Because they want what is best for you. They want you to walk the straight and narrow. And that's the way our God is. He is a personal God. He is a Father to us. I started out in ministry. I got saved in 1983. I got saved out of witchcraft. I was a practicing witch, deeply involved in an occultic lifestyle. Very young girl, involved in drugs and alcohol and everything that this world had to offer. I wanted to try. I was very rebellious, so God changed my life completely in 1983. I was a runaway. I was taken to a church in Las Vegas called Calvary Chapel, Spring Valley, which I am now on staff at. And I received Jesus on a Sunday night. 1984-85, I began to slowly work my way into the worship team, not because I wanted to, but because the pastor found out I could sing. I didn't play on the worship team an instrument at that time. I've always played piano and guitar, but I didn't use those gifts at that time. I just was one of the backup singers. Eventually, the pastor encouraged me with a lot of boldness. I didn't want to be a worship leader, but he insisted that God was calling me to be a worship leader and playing the guitar and the piano and leading the band. It was a very scary thing for me. I wasn't used to doing that at that point. Because of my background mainly, and I became a worship leader. And I loved leading worship. Eventually, as I began to write music, the Lord opened doors for me and literally pushed me through them to start an itinerant ministry on the road as a gospel artist, recording artist, whatever you want to call it. At the time, and still, as I reflect back on it, I simply wanted to be obedient to God and do what He wanted me to do. I wanted a humble ministry, and that's what I got. And I've had those moments all through the year. I have those moments where I do big things. But it's those small things that really count to my heart. And there I was, just being obedient to God and out ministering. That started about 1987, 88. And then the 90s came, and things began to really grow for our ministry. 93, 94, I released my very first album, and things took off. 94, 95, 96, I had released 3 albums by that time, and I was really just going for it. I was doing so many concerts. My husband was literally not seeing very much of me, unless he happened to be with me in the band. And that's not really spending time together. And I was on the road sometimes 6 to 9 weeks at a time. Coming home and unpacking a suitcase and repacking and going out again. And I thought that I was on top of the world. And through all of that, I did something that I didn't even realize. It was very subtle. Maybe there's many of you here today that can relate to this. Maybe there are some of you sitting here today where this is you. And this message is going to change you today. It's going to be a wake-up call from God. 97 came. It was March 1st or 2nd, and I was to go to Dallas, Texas, and do a large concert in a very big church. And I was excited, and I was ready, and I want you to understand something. I love God, never stopped loving God. I was still a Christian. I was still ministering strongly. I was still anointed, but I had forsaken my first love, and I didn't know it. I went to Dallas. I did my first concert that weekend, and I began to get very sick, and I didn't know what was going on with me. And of course, we get sick. I mean, that happens to all of us. I think I've had to cancel one concert last year because I was sick, and this year I've had a couple colds, and I got the allergies today. But I'm not talking about that. That happens. I began to get very, very ill, and I went to the pastor's office. He wanted to talk to me about some things, and. And as he was talking to me, suddenly my voice was taken from me completely. And I mean completely, I couldn't utter a word. And he looked at me and he said, "Are you okay?" And I was like, couldn't talk. I tell you, it was scary. It is like my throat had closed up. It was scary and it was painful too. And they took me back. They had to cancel the rest I had. I was supposed to do Sunday morning and Sunday. I was supposed to just do a whole weekend there. Took me back to the hotel and I was miserable. I started a fever. I started becoming very, very ill. Had to fly back home that way. My husband met me at the airport and took me home, and I ended up for like 3 months being a very ill person with no voice. We had to cancel concerts like I shared last night. Barstow was one of those concerts that I had to cancel. It was embarrassing for me. It was humiliating for me. It was failure for the ministry, because our ministry survives on love offerings at my concerts and product sales at my concerts. And we canceled concert upon concert. The money started going down. The ministry began to fail financially. Needless to say, on top of all of that, I was sicker than I can ever remember being in my life. I got down to about 85, 90 pounds. I looked like a third world country person. I'm serious, people. I was throwing up every day. They tried doctor upon doctor and antibiotic upon antibiotic, and it was literally so bad. I'll share one experience that I've never shared with anybody. I had people that were taking care of me, bringing my food, some family that was in town, my husband, my poor husband trying to work his job and take care of me at the same time. I got to where I could barely walk. And I remember one night he came in the door and he literally found me crawling across the floor. I had no voice, but in my face, begging for help and begging for mercy. I was so sick. I began to die, literally. The doctors said what they thought was that I had, throughout my touring, had contracted two viruses that clashed, and it was killing my body. And I remember one day my husband left me on the couch, and he went to work, and I had my Bible there with me. And in my heart, I was crying out to God in my heart, and I was going, "Lord, what is this? What have I done to deserve this? Please heal me, Lord. Please help me. Please speak to me. Please help me." And the Lord spoke a verse to me. It's in Revelation. And he said, "You have done all these things, but the one thing I hold against you, you have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did in the beginning." And I got crawled off of that couch and I laid myself out on the floor like this with my face down. And I begged God to forgive me that I had forsaken my first love. I was not reading my Bible daily. I was not praying daily. I hadn't done that for a few years. I had been ministering strongly, but my one-on-one relationship with God had gone, and it wasn't God's fault, it was mine. I had ignored him. I mean, how would you feel, those of you that are here that are married today, how would you feel if your spouse never spoke to you, never showed any kind of love toward you, just ignored you all the time? It's the same with God. That relationship would fail, just as your relationship with God would fail if you ignore him. How can you ever know what he wants you to do? How can he ever speak to your heart if you don't listen to his word and read his word out of obedience? And God began to heal me from that point on. And I was sick throughout the rest of that year, March through December. But I began to get well. And it was that following spring that I did a few little things, but my concerts, and I'm serious, consisted of 3 songs. And some of the churches that had booked me in that fall were so gracious to me that they allowed me to still come because they wanted to support my ministry and keep it going because we were so in debt. And I would literally do 3 songs, barely do them. And I am grateful to those churches that supported me during that. But as I got well and got more well, it was so interesting how when I first did my first blown concert again, my sound man told me after the concert, he said, "I've been your sound man a long time, and I know where to set the settings, and Luke can understand this on the board. I know where your voice needs to be." And he said, I had to keep pulling it down and pulling it down because you were so strong. And by the end of that, God had given back 100-fold what the enemy had taken away. God had used it for discipline. He loved me. And you know what? As painful as it was, I would go back and do it all again, go through it, to get to where I am with God today. And I'm not perfect, but I'm a lot better in my relationship. I began to read my Bible every day. I began to pray to Him all through the day. I began to develop that relationship, and I've returned now to leading worship again. Leading worship and making it a part of my ministry. God gave it back to me. It doesn't mean that I'm never going to get sick again. But that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if I do concerts. It doesn't matter if I release albums or if I'm on TV or any of this stuff. It doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is our one-on-one relationship with God. It is so easy for us as ministers. I know Pastor Joseph understands this. As pastors, we get so busy in our ministry, we forget God sometimes. Pray for us. Pray for your pastor and for his wife. Like Lynn said to me this morning, she wears so many hats, and I know what that is. Being a worship leader, being a minister, being a recording artist. But we have to lay that aside. And you know what? There are those times where we might not have that one day. You know, don't feel like, oh, lightning's going to strike me because I have to miss one day. Circumstances arise. That's life. But if you put your face towards serving God daily, having daily devotions, you will build a relationship with God that cannot be broken by the enemy, and a relationship that will begin to change you. Point number two is your relationship with God. Think about it right now. Your relationship with God. Where are you with God right now? Do you have a thirst for God? Do you have a thirst for His Word and His instruction? Then pray and ask God to change your heart, to give you a hunger for His Word. Did you know that God speaks to us through His Word? People say, like I talked earlier, how, you know, I don't hear God's voice. You know that God speaks to us through His Word. Very, very often. You might pray and ask for an answer. And it's in many, many times opening God's Word and reading and going, that's my answer. God will speak to you, not always with that still small voice, but very often through His Word. And we discover things about God in His Word. The Bible describes who God is, what He is. All things about the Lord we find here. People, you need to know your God before you can really, really have a real relationship. Point number three. Is it God's time or is it your time? We need to make time for God as though it were your last day on earth. If we would begin to live with that thought in mind, if we would begin to realize that each day is a gift from God, and each day is new. It says in the book Lamentations, that great is His faithfulness. His mercies are new every day. It's not your time. It's God's time. And you know what? I'm busy. I know that all of you are busy. You know, sometimes we think that we're the Lone Ranger in being busy, right? We think nobody is. I've done this. Nobody is as busy as us. Somebody will come up and go, you'll go, how you doing? And they'll go, oh, man, I'm telling you, I have got so much to do. And you're thinking in your mind, right, you'll never know how busy I am. We do that. But you know what? You're as busy as I am busy. I run an office in Las Vegas, ministry office, that I work in sometimes 8, 9, 10 hours a day. I am a housewife. I have to clean my own house. A lot of people go, Annie Meadows, you clean your own house? We thought you had servants. Pastor Joseph, do you have servants? One. I clean my own house. I wash my dishes and I put clean sheets on my bed. I do it myself. I get on airplanes. I pack suitcases and unpack suitcases. And I get on airplanes and I travel and I do what you saw me do this weekend every month. I have a husband to attend to. I have a husband to keep happy. I have a church that I'm on staff at and leading worship and practicing with that band and practicing playing the special music, putting together the Easter program. I'm busy. But none of that is important if I don't spend time with God. And I have found a mystery. I put God to the test. And I started spending that time with Him. And one thing that I want to make clear today is it doesn't matter, really, whether it's morning, noon, or night. But this morning, what I want to stress to you is I think that morning time is the best time. That's just my personal opinion. Now, if you're a night person, then that's fine. I would rather you be in the Word of God than not be in the Word of God because you feel like you can't do it in the morning. But as I get on in this message, I'm going to be talking quite a bit about morning. And maybe after you hear what I've had to say, I might convince some of you to get up a bit earlier. But I found that as I sat down and did my devotions, that I had more time. And that the day went smoother. And I thought, what's this? Man, that's nice. I got to where I couldn't wait till the next morning for my devotions. There's also been those times where I didn't have the time in the morning. For example, I had to get to the office for a meeting or something. I was up late the night before because of whatever reasons, and I had to get up a bit late, and I had to run out the door. Those times happened to everybody. And those times that happened, I would have to do my devotion like in the late afternoon or late at night. It never failed. I would read the devotion, and I would go, that's what I needed this morning. Maybe I wouldn't have made that mistake today. Maybe I wouldn't have been impatient with that person. Maybe I wouldn't have lost my temper or whatever I would have done. Maybe I wouldn't have done that if I had read that devotion this morning. You know, we need to start sometimes. We need to fill the tank up in the morning, not wait until it's on E at night. Number four, let's get started. You might say, well, Annie, that all sounds fine and dandy, but how do I get started? How do I do devotions? Devotionals. I love devotionals. Now, this is a personal thing. There's no place in the Bible that says you have to do devotions with a devotional. This is a personal thing, and it's helped me. And if it's helped me, I think it would help you too. It's a great way to start. It will lead you to more than you anticipate. And what I mean by that is there's been times where I've had my devotionals, a couple of devotionals that I always do. In Touch with Charles Stanley, it's a wonderful devotion. It's free in the mail. You just contact In Touch. I think it's intouch.org, and they'll give that devotional to you. Of course, it's always good to send donations to these people to cover their cost. There's also Daily Bread, which I know that you're familiar with. I've seen it here in this church. And I sometimes will sit down with my devotional and they'll start with a saying by, you know, a major person, you know, something they said or a nice little, you know, phrase. And then they give you a Bible verse to look up. And then they give you a commentary and sometimes a prayer at the end. And sometimes in those commentaries, you'll find things that you didn't anticipate when you first read that verse. And the devotional will take you a little further, maybe to another verse. And then maybe to another verse. And before you know it, you're having a Bible study and you didn't think that you could. Study guides, memorizing verses of Scripture, worship, many worship songs that you sing that have Bible verses in them whenever you're having your personal devotions. You know, some of those people here that can't sing, that's your moment. God loves it. I don't care if you sing off key or not. God really enjoys it. So devotionals are a wonderful, wonderful thing. Remember, we're all human. We all fail. I again want to encourage you with that. I don't want anybody to walk out of here today and think that I can't attain to this. You can. Each one of you can pick up the Word of God. Number five. Change your world. Did you know that you can change your world by you personally having devotions every day? And if you don't hear anything else I've said this morning, remember that word, every day. Make God a part of your life every day. Jesus said to be a light for the world. He called us to be a light that the world could see. God's word will shine forth from your spirit. You have God's word within you. It will instruct you that you might instruct others. It will change you. And you become the person that you've always dreamed of being. It will refresh you. To give you joy and peace and comfort. And it will ready you for the trials that you might have to face. There's a book, it's always good to be able to learn from each other, to encourage each other. And I have a wonderful office manager named Angela Sanchez. And Angela is more than just the person that answers the phone, does the road managing, and does all the paperwork. Angela's my right hand, and also my confidant. And as I was studying and preparing this message, I sit down and was talking to Angela about it, and she gave me some insights. And I asked her, I said, would it be okay if I included those in my message? And I let you know this because I don't want to take credit for something that Angela gave to me. She's a strong woman of God. She's a wonderful teacher in her own right. If you want to see some of Angela's work, simply go to our website, and I'll let you know what that is right now. It's really easy to remember. It's Faith Runner. All one word. Faith Runner. FAITHRUNNER.org. And there's a devotional there. It's updated like every 6 weeks, 4 to 6 weeks, and there's a devotional page. You should read some of the devotionals that this woman writes. It's shocking. I've told her many times, you couldn't have written this. This must be something that you got from Charles Stanley or somebody like that. She goes, no, she's so timid. She's like, no, it's just what the Lord gave me. And it's incredible, strong. So if you want a good devotional time, just go to our website and look at what Angela has written there. But Angela told me about a book that I have not written. I have not read it myself yet. I plan on getting it and reading it because of what she had to say about it and some of the insight that she gave me. It's called A Shepherd's Look at Psalm 23. A Shepherd's Look at Psalm 23. And it's by Philip Keller, K-E-L-L-E-R. And in that book, Philip talks about the wise shepherd who loves his sheep so much that he gets them out before dawn to get the coolest, stillest water of the day, the dew that our Lord Jehovah Jireh provides. And if this is true for us also, we must drink deeply of the living water so that our spirits are full and cool to face the heat of the day. And that's what I was talking to Angela when she told me this. You know, we discussed this, and I was writing down what she was saying. I was thinking that it's so true, the heat of the day. And those of us who live here in the desert, we really know what the heat of the day is all about. Now, I live in Las Vegas. But aside from just the temperature heat, I'm talking about the heat of what the day might bring. The day is going to bring tension and stress. The day is going to bring anger, impatience. And if we go with our shepherd early in the morning, and we drink of that still and cool water, that's going to prepare us and refresh us and ready us for the heat of the day and the trials that we might face. I'm going to give you some scriptures at this point, and I'm going to read them to you as well. In Proverbs 19:12, the king's wrath is like the roaring of a lion, but his favor is like dew on the grass, the dew of the morning. Psalm 23:2, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Psalm 5:3, my voice, and this is David, my voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning, I will direct it to you, and I will look up. In John 10, read that entire chapter. Jesus talks about being the good shepherd. He wants to meet with us early in the morning to give us that perfect water. A point for you to remember. A tree that isn't watered bears no fruit. A tree that isn't watered bears no fruit. We must be watered to bear fruit. And Jesus has called each one of us to bear fruit. D.L. Moody, C.S. Lewis, Charles Spurgeon, Henry Ironside, Elizabeth Elliot, Corrie Ten Boom, and on, they have all said that their early morning time with the Lord has meant the most in their Christian walk. Now, these are hard hitters for the Lord. These are examples that we can follow, of people who have truly walked close to God. I want to be that way. I want to be that person that walks close to God. I want God's light to shine out of me to this dark world that so needs the love of God, that so needs a touch. The world has changed, you guys, in the last month. It's changed desperately. In Las Vegas, Caesar's Palace, big billboard, I'm talking huge, they had up there, "In God We Trust." Is that amazing? I cried. I just wept when I saw that. I couldn't believe it. Casinos all over town. They're big "God Bless America," "United We Stand," "In God We Trust." I can't believe this. And whenever you say "God bless you" to somebody, it really means something to them now. All of you have talked to secular people, people that are not Christians, just on an everyday basis. And there's been times where maybe you slipped your Christianese and you went, "God bless you." And they would kind of go, "Thank you." And now I've noticed whenever I say "God bless you" to somebody, they go, "Thank you, and God bless you too." You know, a revival has come to our land. I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but it's happening. I was out touring during the tragedy. I had just gotten off an American Airlines jet 3 days before this happened. I was on tour back in the Southeast, and many people that follow my ministry, friends, family, prayer warriors, and so forth, as far as to Australia, know when I'm on tour. And you wouldn't believe the calls that Angela received. Was she on that plane that went into the Twin Tower? It could have been me. Our world has changed. We need God. This is a chance for us to make a difference. We cannot make that difference if we don't change from the inside out. If we have nothing to give, we need to be that light. I'm going to give you a couple scriptures that talk about morning dew. God uses the word dew as a blessing. In Genesis 27:28, it says, "Therefore may God give you the dew of heaven, of the fatness of the earth, plenty of grain and wine." Notice the referral of God's blessing as dew, which depicts morning. God's truth. Deuteronomy 32, verse 2. "Let me teach. Let my teaching fall like rain, and my words descend like dew, like showers on new grass, like abundant rain on tender plants." That was Moses' song. It's the NIV version. I want to tell you a short story of something that happened while I was touring. I think will bless you. It doesn't really have anything to do with the dew, but it just went into my mind. When that happens, I know that God wants me to say something. I'm going to get a drink of water. Thank you for water, Lord. When I had to fly back, first of all, I had trouble trying to get back. All the airports closed down. And I was afraid as well to get on American Airlines flight and have to go across country. And so happened that I had to fly the week later, the Tuesday later on the anniversary. And I talked to the rent-a-car people, and they highly suggested that I take the car and drive cross-country. They even told me they would waive all charges, which really scared me then, because I thought, my gosh, maybe somebody, the Lord's trying to tell me something here. And then I called the airlines, and at that time, of course, there was a lot of panic going on, so they were saying things differently than what they're saying now. They said, maybe you should check into buses and trains. So, Lord, are you trying to tell me not to get on this plane? And it was very tense. My parents wanted me to stay put. And I said, you know what? I have a ladies' retreat where I'm the speaker that I have to be home for. And so I opted to go on the plane and just trust God, because I came to the conclusion that I have an appointed time that I'm going to die. And it doesn't matter if I'm on a plane or sitting in a bed, I'm going to die. It's going to be that day. And so I got on that plane, and I remember they had changed all of my flight schedule. I was supposed to go out of Nashville, go to Dallas, and go to Las Vegas. And they changed it, and they said, now you're going to go from Nashville up to Chicago, Chicago to Las Vegas. I'm thinking, why are you going so far? And one thing, I didn't want to go to Chicago O'Hara, because it just seems like a lot of stuff happens in Chicago O'Hara, and it's closer to Boston and all that. I'm going, oh, God, why are you doing this? And all this time I'm thinking, maybe God's trying to tell me not to go. But for some reason or another, I was compelled. So I took that flight. I was thinking, wow, made it. Now let's see if I make it from Chicago. And now, of course, everybody's looking at everybody to see if anybody looks Middle Eastern. Because if anybody Middle Eastern gets on that plane, you don't want to get on it, right? And it so happened, I fly a lot. I mean, I fly constantly with American Airlines. And so I get upgraded to first class a lot, which is a wonderful blessing now. The first several years of flying, that didn't happen. But now, because I've got that seniority, I've got all that mileage, and a lot of the planes that people know me, I get upgraded quite a bit. So I was in first class. So I'm sitting there. This is a huge plane. And there was like maybe about 35, 40 people that you could have seated 100 in the coach in there, and there was only like four of us in first class. It was like 16 to 20 seats, and I'm thinking, man, where is everybody? Maybe the Lord didn't want me to get on this plane. So I'm sitting there, and everybody has boarded, right? Well, one last person walks on at the last moment. Who is it? A Middle Eastern man. And I'm sitting in my seat, I'm going, okay. Am I supposed to get my cell phone out and call Peter now and say, should I get off this flight? I'm panicking on the inside, and he's got the thick accent, and he's totally Middle Eastern. And I'm going, what is this? Why are the stewardess stopping him? Why are they letting him board? You know, I mean, like, this can't be. You know, and being sent over, all these seats are empty, right? There's one person here, I'm here, and one person back here. Where does he come? To the seat next to me. He looks at me, and he goes, thick accent, which I can't do. He goes, can I sit there? And I'm going, you can do anything you want. He's wondering, what's wrong with her? Anything you want, please, just get right in here. Have a seat. Enjoy yourself. Are you happy? He sits down, you know, and he looks at me. I'm talking Middle Eastern, man. I was like, going, if you've ever seen my husband, put a turban on him. Peter has to fly with me next month. I'm scared what they're going to do when they see Peter. He's okay, he's Italian, he just looks Middle Eastern. So this guy gets on, he sits down next to me, I'm beginning to like sweat. I'm kind of going, oh God. How you doing today? Do you like a free CD? Anything, cheer this man up. Can you get him some orange juice? And so finally we get up into the air. And they were so sweet. I mean, the airlines, even the face of the airlines had changed. The stewardess were like, it was just a different feel. They were so humble and so sweet and everything. And they came over, and finally I had my Bible out, and I had some notes and things, and I had it all out in my little tray. And he looks over at me, and he goes, are you a Christian? And I'm thinking, now he's going to kill me. I started to go, ooh, wah, wah, yeah, oh, yeah, wah, yeah. I'm Muslim. Oh, Allah! And I thought, no. And so I said, yes, I am. And he goes, oh, he says, what are you studying and everything? And so I'm like, believe it or not, I spent the next, I'm talking 3 hours. I'm serious. It's a heart attack. I went from Genesis to Revelation with this man. This man wanted to know so much. I couldn't believe it. I didn't understand it, but he wouldn't stop talking and asking me. Usually you're the one that has to kind of, you know, carry the conversation and what you want to minister to somebody. He asked me questions that you just would be delighted to get from somebody. Well, how do you become a Christian? I'm going, God. And the Lord just, in my mind, I'm going, Lord, please give me the right words. Remind me of scriptures. Let me lead this man. And I'm telling you, I ministered so strongly to this man. I was so thankful at that point that I had God's word in my heart. Because from 97 until this point, that time of disciplining with God, that he had disciplined me enough to be in his word every day, that I had done my devotions, and that I was ready when that moment came to be able to minister to somebody who had such a great need. It's such a time in history. I was so thankful. And that's what personal devotions did for me. And I ministered to this man, and I spoke so, the Lord just gave me a boldness, came over me. And there came a point where I looked at him and I said, I'm going to tell you something. I was not supposed to be on this plane. I was not supposed to be in this seat. My flight was changed. I was afraid I wasn't even going to fly. But God has put me in this seat at this moment in history so that I could tell you the truth, so that you might have a chance to be saved. Amen. And he was soaking this up. I mean, this man was really taking this in. And he looked at me and he goes, Annie Meadows, because we had exchanged cards, and he said, if I ever become a Christian, he goes, I will never forget you. And I told him, I said, don't wait till it's too late to know God. And I planted some strong seeds that day. He didn't accept Jesus, but this man had a lot to think about. When he gave me his card, I told him, I said, I will send you my new CD. And he says, oh, because that's people, secular people, that's what gets them their attention. You're going to give them something. If you're a musician, pretty much, you know, musicians in the world are, you know, looked up to. So that right there is just a little bait that I can put out there. And I said, I'll send you a free CD. Well, then the stewardess walks over to me. I can't believe this happened. She walks over to me and she goes, couldn't I get you, she kept wanting to give me an ice cream sundae or something like that. And, you know, I can't have that, you know, because of my singing. And I said, no. And finally he looks at her. He goes, well, she's a singer. She goes, you're a gospel singer. I said, yes. And she goes, would you sing for us? I've been touring for 14 years and nobody's ever asked me to sing on the airplane. I was a little embarrassed, to be honest with you. I'm thinking, sing on the airplane? You know what I mean? It's not like I have the tracks of Luke back there to put a song on, you know. And she goes, oh, please. And I said, well, and she goes, let me go talk to the pilot. And so she leaves and she goes, I'm serious. She comes back out. She goes, the pilot said, please, would you please sing? I said, well, yeah. And the man next to me is looking at me like, you know. So I go, well, it's time to minister to him in song, you know. So I go up and she gives me the little telephone thing they talk on, you hold the button down. I didn't know how. Hold the button down and you speak on it, you know, and that's a microphone. It goes all over the plane. Lee and I has a little reverb on it. Thinking, Luke, were you on that plane that day? Back here, I see the curtain moves and Luke's going. And so I took that and she goes, we've got Annie Meadows, the gospel artist. She's been touring with American Airlines for 14 years now. And she has agreed to sing a song for us, a couple songs. I'm going, you know. So I'm going to show you exactly what I did. I took that, I pressed that button, I went, your ways, O Lord, are good and faithful. No one whose hope is in you turn my hope into joy, and you've given my heart a new song, and my heart can't be silent anymore. Oh, I can sing, for I am not afraid to do your will, Lord. For to live is Christ, to die is gain. And when I got done, I saw people all over that plane, some were in the back standing like this. And some were sitting in their seats and they were just going like this. Stewardess were lined up and they had come from the back and they were all weeping and crying. And that man was just looking and I was thinking, my gosh, Lord, how in history could I have ever done this before? And then I said, you know what? I love my airline because you have taken me around the world and I want to dedicate this next song to my pilot that's flying us today. And then I sing, God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night from the light from above, from the mountains to the prairies, to the ocean, white with foam. God bless America, my home, sweet home. Sing with me. God bless America, my up with me as we get ready to dismiss. I just want to close by saying, stand up with me, by saying that if you begin your devotions today, God is going to speak to you. Your life is going to begin to change and it's never going to be the same. And you're going to go out there and you're going to change your world because you're going to be ready for it. And you're going to be ready for any situation that God puts you in. Let's pray. Lord, we love you and we honor you. Father, I pray for each one of us here today that you would give us that hunger for your word. Lord, that hunger, Father, to pray to you. Lord, that you would teach us, that you would lead us. Holy Spirit, that you would speak to our hearts, that you would make us the person that we've always hoped to be. I pray, Lord God, a blessing on this church for each one here. I pray for your hedge of protection to be around each one, that the enemy could not come in and take away the word that has been spoken here today, that the enemy could not take away the encouragement, anticipation, Lord, that you've put in every heart here today. Father, I bless them. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. You can stay standing up for just a moment. We're going to depart here. I want to ask a question, one that Annie raised several times during the course of this morning. You know, all of us in times of difficulty, we cry out to the Lord, whether we know him or not. You know, the phrase is that there are no atheists in the foxholes. At times of difficulty, there are not many who do not believe in God. And yet, it's one thing to be speaking to him, speaking toward him. It's another thing entirely to have him speaking to you. If you're here today and you're in the place where you've called out to him, but you've never opened up your heart and your life and allowed him to speak to you, and you know that today you need to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. You've not done that before, but you need to today. I just want you to be bold. Before we leave, I want you to raise your hand. We're going to pray together this morning. If that's you, if you're here today and you know that you need the Lord in your life, you may be here today and you may not even know why you came today. The Lord knows why you came today. If that's you, I just want you to be bold and raise your hand. Raise your hand. Anybody? Praise God. Anyone else? Be nice and high. I'm sorry, I can't. If that's you, these three ladies here, one here, anyone else? If that's you, you want to make that decision this morning. Anyone else? Praise God. You know what? Let's do this. Annie didn't want to last night draw anybody up, but I say this because this is what the Word of God says. If we will confess before men, before people, that He is the Christ, then there is a reciprocation that He will acknowledge us before the angels and before His Father in heaven. If you're here this morning and you want to make truly a decision that Jesus Christ would be the Lord of your life, I just want to invite you to step out of where you're at and just come up front. We're going to pray together this morning. If that's you and you raise your hand and you're sincere about that, just come on up front. You can, someone can come with you, that's okay. Anyone else? Anyone else? Anyone else? Praise God. Anyone else? If I could have some of the prayer team just to come up and to gather with these that are here this morning. You folks are here because you know you need Jesus in your heart. You need God in your life. Okay, and we're going to pray. What I'd like to do is this. I'm going to pray, and I'd like you just to pray these words after me, and we as a congregation, we're all going to pray this together. And what God is stirring in your heart, He's going to finish. And the Lord loves you more than you will now come to an understanding day by day how much He does love you and how much He has given to have relationship with you. Let's pray. Just repeat after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I open up my heart. I open up my life. I repent of my past, of my sin, and I turn away from everything that is before. I turn to You in faith. I acknowledge You today.
Acknowledge You today.
As the only true God.
The only true God.
I receive you as my Lord, as my Savior. Come into my heart and make me a new person. And I will serve You from this day for the rest of my life. God, I pray a blessing today on those who have made decisions to serve You, to dedicate their hearts to You. Lord, I pray that You would strengthen and encourage and sustain them, Lord. Lord, that they would be surrounded, Lord, with brothers and sisters in God, parts of the family of God. Lord, I pray that as You have adopted these this morning into Your family, Lord, I pray that we would surround them and encourage them and strengthen them, that we would point them to You, Lord, and that You would reveal Yourself each day more deeply to them, and that You would be glorified in it, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
For more information on Annie's music ministry, please visit us at our webpage, www.faithrunner.org. That's FAITHRUNNER. .org, where you can hear samples of all five of Annie's albums, look at her touring schedule, read a bit of her testimony, and some ministry news. Our phone number is 702-438-5377, and our address for Exodus Concert Ministries is P.O. Box 13863, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89112. Thank you, and God bless you.